Let us pray as we come to God's Word. O Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out on Pentecost and continued in abundant blessing to your church over the years. We are aware that if we don't have the Spirit's help, we can't understand the Word. And so as we come to your Word this evening, would you grant us insight and wisdom? Show us where our sins may lie in repentance. Grant that to us. And Father, we pray that we will heed your warnings and covet and enjoy your promises and hold them as precious in our sight. Guide us in our study of your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture tonight is found in Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. Galatians 2, beginning with verse 17. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Well, we made the point in our study of verse 16 last week that we're not justified by works of law, but by faith in Christ alone. He made that point to Peter, who had abandoned Gentiles out of fear of the Jews who believed the law should still be kept. But Paul had more to say to Peter. And so in verses 17 through 20, Paul gives sharp and direct answers to the heresy of the Judaizers. Remember, the Judaizers are those who say faith in Christ is needed, yes, but to be righteous, to be justified by Christ, through faith in Christ, you also need to keep the law. You need to keep the ceremonial law, keep the feasts, and be circumcised as well. Now, what Paul says in verses 17 through 20 is not complicated, but let's try to put it simply. I want us to look at Paul's answers to the Judaizers' two basic arguments. Now, the first argument of the Judaizers, Paul, in fact, considers a base false accusation. They would say, if you say that Christ does not want us to keep the law, you're making Christ a minister of sin. Verse 17. Verse 17. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? Is Christ making us sin if we are told we don't need to keep the law? And the argument of the Judaizers goes like this. The law was given by God through Moses, and Jesus is God. So how could he possibly say we don't need to keep the law? But you, Paul, say that Christ encourages us not to keep the feasts and dietary laws and to not be circumcised. And that, Paul, says the Judaizers, is encouraging sin. And thus you, Paul, make Christ a minister of sin. Well, this is a serious charge. It's tantamount to a charge of blasphemy, taking the name of the Son of God in vain. And that's what the Judaizers' argument is. So what is Paul's answer to this serious charge? Well, he gives it in verse 18. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Now, you may have read this over the years and wondered, what in the world is Paul talking about? He's saying, in other words, to go back to the law is like rebuilding a house that is unstable and been torn down. It will not give shelter to someone who wants to live in it and be protected by it. I think many of us have seen old houses that time and the elements have reduced to splintery and unstable walls and floors and ceilings that are collapsing and have finally been torn down because they were actually dangerous to live in. Why? Because it would not be safe to live in such a house. Such a house gives no protection from the weather, from thieves that are breaking in. And you tear it down because if it fell down while you're living in it, it would kill you. Well, Paul is saying, in response to the Judaizers, to go back to the law as a means of justification, to rely on works, to return to the Mosaic law regarding feasts and other ceremonial traditions, that's to rebuild the law as a shelter. The trouble is, if the law is going to shelter you from the wrath of God, you have to keep it perfectly for it to protect you from the wrath of God. As a matter of fact, Paul's own experience says that the law only leads to sin. Romans 7, verses 8 and 9, he found that sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Paul goes on to say, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. Well, the problem then is that can't give shelter. It would not be safe to live in such a house. You'd have to keep it perfectly to protect you from God's wrath. Your best efforts, though, at doing that will only lead to frustration, and they will never justify you. So Paul replies that it is a false accusation that they've made against him, saying he makes Christ a minister of sin. It's just not true. The second argument of the Judaizers he wants to answer is this. If you say we are justified by faith alone, this is what the Judaizers would say. If you say we are justified by faith alone apart from works, then you're encouraging sin. You not only make Christ a minister of sin, you're encouraging sin when you say we do not have to keep the law. They would say, Paul, have you no shame? The law of Moses was given by God on Sinai. You're defying the word of Yahweh himself, the word through Moses. You're denying, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You're encouraging sin, Paul. The law must be kept, or you cannot be justified. You're just going to continue to sin and continue to be guilty. What is Paul's response to this second charge? His answer is given in verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. That's a stunning declaration. But Paul's explanation is plain in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. For Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We are united to Christ by faith, says Paul. And Paul also says that he and we are so united to Christ that there are two things that are true of everyone who trusts in Jesus. First, each one who's trusted in Jesus can say, I've been crucified with Christ. When he died for my violation of God's law, I died with him to the law and his conviction of sin against me. And secondly, my life is tied up with Christ's life so that when he rose again, I rose with him. And I live for God and to keep his law by faith in Christ. In other words, my sins were punished and done away with when Christ died. And when Christ rose free of guilt and shame, I arose with him. Paul paid the penalty for the disobedience of the law that I was guilty of. And he was rewarded by being raised, and I was raised with him. The bottom line is I live sin and guilt free and free of the law's obligations by faith in Christ who kept the law for me. Now, does that mean I don't try to be obedient to the law of God? Not at all, but that's another sermon altogether. It simply means God's no longer judging the Christian for how good he keeps the law, how perfectly he keeps the law. If you are a Christian by trusting in Christ, you have the power from God to live the way God intends you to live. You no longer live the fallen life of Adam in guilt and shame and facing the wrath of God for your sinful failures. Instead, you now live the risen life of Christ himself in union with him. And progressively, over time, you begin more and more to be conformed to the law by the work of the Holy Spirit. As your life is being sanctified, you are more and more becoming like Christ in thought, word, and deed. And even while you're doing that imperfectly, you're always perfect in God's sight by his grace. Christ paid for your sin. He paid for every violation of his law, past, present, and future. So the Judaizers are wrong. Paul's not encouraging sin. He's encouraging, in fact, attempting to live by God's law, but not so that you can be saved, but because you are saved, and you want more and more to obey the law of God. See the big difference here. You're not saved by keeping the law. You're saved by faith in Christ who kept the law for you. And then you leave it to the Holy Spirit to do the work of perfecting your obedience to the law over the course of time. And that will never be perfect till you're in heaven. But that's okay. Because every time the devil accuses you before God of sinning and not keeping the law, Christ speaks and says, Father, I paid for that. And you gave that child of yours credit for my obedience. You imputed my righteousness to him or to her. And therefore, the argument of the Judaizers is silenced. Let's make all of this clear and simple. Look at verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul is simply saying what he will say later in the book of Romans. Turn to Romans 6, verses 8 through 11. Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 11. Chapter 6 is full of a description of union with Christ in his life, death, and resurrection. Look at Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead in union with Christ, he means, but alive to God in union with Christ. You died with him, you were raised with him, and you now live to God and for God in him. And then turn to chapter 8 and verse 10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. You have the righteousness of Christ, and therefore you're no longer lost and dead in your sin. You're alive in righteousness to God. It is not that your personality is nullified. Union with Christ doesn't make you not you anymore. You remain the same person, same characteristics, the same qualities that endear you to some people and drive other people crazy. But you are the same person. But your life, your life is now different. Because as a Christian, trusting in Christ, you no longer live the fallen life of Adam, at least not willingly. But you are living in God's eyes a new life in growing conformity to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it beautifully. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You, dear believer, are God's work in progress. In other words, you have been born again. Your old way of life and sin is dying. You're becoming a new person. Indeed, from God's view, you really are a new person, a perfectly new person in Christ. He sees no flaw, no sin in you, because that sin was placed on Christ, and his righteousness was given to you. Now, this does not release you from spiritual conflicts. Turn again to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7, verses 17 through 20. This is Paul's classic lament. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. The struggle with sin is real and really painful at times for the Christian. This is the tension that Paul is referring to in verse 20 of our text. I am crucified. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We live out life in the flesh, and that flesh dogs our steps. But by faith, we actually live in Christ to God. If you are a Christian, then it is normal that you live a life in tension and conflict, that you live in two worlds. You live in the world of the flesh with remaining sin, but you also live in Christ, who guarantees your pardon for that sin and your perfect righteousness in the sight of God. Thus, as a Christian, you are able to say with Paul about yourself and your life, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So Paul's final answer to the Judaizers and his defense of the Gentile Christians is found in Galatians 3, verses 2, 5, and 14. Galatians 3, verse 2 says, "This is the only thing I want to find out about you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And then you go to verse 5. "So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith?" And then down to verse 14. "In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." In other words, Gentile Christians receive the Spirit who enables them to live that new life in Christ. And his final answer to the Judaizers then is, if you say keeping the law justifies you, you're denying the gospel. This does not mean you're not responsible for your sinful choices in life. God remains holy and righteous, and he will never approve of you deliberately sinning. He will never approve of breaking any of his commandments, never. But you see, in Christ your sin is forgiven. And even as your Father in heaven chastises you for your sin, and he does, and he will, until the day you die, as he chastises you to teach you to resist temptations and seek to live a more holy life, your sin is forgiven. He's not punishing your sin. He's training you. He's chastising you. He is transforming you into a perfect image of Jesus. So what does this all mean to us? Well, let Paul answer that question in verse 21, the last words he spoke to Peter. "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. If you say you must keep the law to be justified, you cast a slur on the work that Jesus accomplished on Calvary. You say his death was incomplete and insufficient to save you. You're saying, in fact, that he failed in his work of perfect obedience to law for his people and his full atonement for their sins and his suffering and death. He wasted his time. He wasted his pain. He wasted his blood. You, in fact, make Christ a minister of failure. If you say you need to keep the law to be justified. But rather, as Robert Murray McShane put it so memorably, this is what you should do. For every one look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. You see, Satan loves to play mind games with you. He accuses you of being imperfect, which of course you are. And then he says you should feel guilty for not obeying God perfectly. Yes, you are imperfect. But if by faith you are united to Christ in his death and resurrection, then God has imputed Jesus' perfect act of obedience to his law and his death for your sins to your account. You get the credit for accomplishing those things, though Christ actually did it. That's called grace. You are crucified with Christ and you no longer live. But the life you live in the flesh, you live by faith in Christ who loved you and delivered himself up to the cross for you. Do not try to keep the law so God will love you. He already does love you in Christ, and he loves you perfectly. He is working to make you what you want to be. If you're a Christian, what you want to be is the perfect image of Jesus, and that's what he is working in you to accomplish. So trust in Christ and rest assured of his love. And if you are not yet a Christian, don't try to be saved by obeying God and his law as some religions teach. That's false teaching. The true teaching of Scripture, the true teaching of the gospel, and the true teaching of Paul in the book of Galatians is this: to be saved, trust in the Christ who kept the law for you. Don't do it yourself. Trust in the Christ who kept the law for you. Amen.